Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh, episode 19. In this week's installment, Yogi has been manoeuvred to stay on in Garhmukteswara at the home of Barhai. Trustee Chauhan came up for dinner too. He was the history buff among them, glad to hear his high-pitched voice pull rank. "So, Yogiji, you like a Mahabharat?" Youth in blemished white spoke from the couch, with feet tucked up, hiding his cut knee.
I have read it, yeah, in English, a translation," then added, "bigger than the Iliad."
Chauhan eyebrowed his chairman. Barhai winked. They felt the thrill of history acknowledged, yes, by a foreigner, someone from the West from whom they sought approval, yet despised. "They had not deemed Australia to be South," Chauhan went on.
"It is our greatest book, without a doubt. The story of our race and still for us alive. This is the place where it began. Hastinapur, the capital, is so close by, we could even go tomorrow."
"Well, that would be great, but my wife is all alone. She'll be worried already that I haven't returned."
"Of course, Sadhu Sahib," Barhai added. "We are all family men. Your duty's clear. Yes, right now she is too much worrying. In a strange land, one must be vigilant. Tomorrow is Sunday. Rest the knee, you must. Chauhan, you send your car for Yogi Mrs."
The leader and his deputy read each other.
"A small service, Yogi G, if you allow."
"Of course he must," said Barhai, pushing on with a host prerogative. "She is truly doing noble work with the children. Please allow us to show appreciation and share our home. Mrs. Barhai will be thrilled on meeting her."
Yogi succumbed again. The air conditioning was softening his tired brain and bones.
"Come on, slow down. Just take a little break."
He thought of Margot with that block of soap scrubbing his white shoulder at the hand pump. He smiled with some relief.
"Okay, thanks."
Then Barhai barked in Hindi.
"Hey, Kana Banao!
Ji Swami!"
chimed a voice through clanging pots.
"Indian food you like?"
"Oh, very much."
"Now, Chauhan, tell us something new."
The history buff lit up. He cleared his throat, then paused.
"Perhaps we shouldn't start on Mahabharat here."
"Why not?" asked Yogi.
"It is the story of discord in the home and splitting of the atom of the nation. Ramayana is a ghee lamp sharing light. Mahabharat is the wick snuffed out at the end."
"Come, that's superstition," Barhai said. 20 crore, watch it on Doordarshan and still the nation hasn't split your atom."
20 crore?
Asked Yogi.
200 million, said the man of rupees.
Then told how, from week to week at 9 on Sunday morning, India stopped to quaff down myth-like milk from the sacred teat of new technology. Skyline satellite dishes ham-wired poking above slums, bazaars, the colonies, mosques and mandirs, the public spaces emptied all at home, seated, reverent as inside the temple, through Far Darshan's audience with the past on national television.
It's tomorrow, you will see," Barhai added. "Well, we will take our dinner. Hungry, Yogi?"
"Yes," he said, a growling dog in his gut.
Mm-hmm.
They tore up steam balloons, chapati, scooping deep the seas of chili. Ladyfingers chopped green bindi, something cabbage fried and windy. Deep brown dal thick with ours, alu gobi's hidden powers, paneer slabs, swimming cream, floating in the Indian dream. Barhai, a man of chicken meat, went pure veg tonight, discreet, while Chauhan, scion of care, sniffed and tested with despair, spooning past the globs of ghee, gold whirlpools of high BP. Then the sweet dish, food for brain, rice cream kheer came again and again. Yogi's robe earned its battle stain, a victim of the gravy train.
Don't worry for the washing, Sadhu Sahib. Barhai called the servant to bring kurta and white pajama as his sleeping suit.
Thanks, Chauhan, Yogi said in advance for Margot's early car and gave a note. Dear Margot, you must be anxious, sorry. Skin my knee. Am resting up at Barhai's, waiting, Yogi. P.S. Bring guitar.
Note pocketed, Chauhan said, Right, sir. Descending stairs like bass notes on a keyboard. It was time to shake the hand of his host and close the door, but he felt like a rock. Food overload? Laying down, he sank in a dream of water.
Darkness is poison. Stone body, creepers, arms tied, ankles, rope burnt, thinking unwinds, reels out. An oxygen lifeline, bubbles, bubbles, serpents swim, scarlet green, injecting venom straight to the bottom and through to another place. Creepers break, cobra hoods smash like tree roots, slither cold tunnel, jeweled walls, emerald cavern, the thousand, thousand coils of serpentry turning human with honeyed speech. Poison is nectar. Each bite, a burning antidote. Each bite, 100 elephants of strength. Each fang clasp, strange transference, upsurge. Sunlight kingdom, breaking surface. Awake in the mind, asleep in the body. Laying until the lotus pink of dawn.
When he woke, Yogi's robe was clean upon the chair. Showering, he changed, remembering the poison night. But noises lured him via sprinkled scent of rosewater into a front room spread with cotton sheets of white. The ceiling fan spread aircon cool, but squeezed too close, the men swabbed sweaty necks. A girl passed round a tray of clinking glasses. Barhai made way for Yogi, pride of place. Garlanded with marigolds, red saried Sri Lakshmi blessed all with wealth from her pink lotus framed above the television. Herded together, ladies covered heads as the picture tube fizzed into holy life.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 20 continued. Last week we saw Yogi staying overnight with Mr. Barhai and having discussions about the Mahabharata, the longest epic poem in the world, which is important because he's staying in the region where it historically happened. Now, the following morning, people have gathered to watch the TV episode. The The epic credits rolled through drums of war. A reverb voice informed the Milky Way. The wheel of Dharma turned with cosmic law as people bowed before the teleplay. Chariot driver Krishna drove Arjuna, discharging arrows at his loved grandsire. Neither could Bhishma find a clear lacuna, treading shots with Arjuna's rapid fire. Lame effects make drama hard to swallow, and the next scene in a tent, an enemy squabble, was lost on Yogi. He could not follow. Hindi was equal to Greek or turkey gobble. No one thought to translate. He looked around, then turned down mentally the TV's sound. Closing eyes, he listened to his heart rate, recalling a childhood glued to the TV, hidden behind the lounge till very late, when the hand of Dad stung like a killer bee, sending him to bed. He felt the blows again, and then the Mahabharat war was back, more volleys of rapid arrows, elephants, fake swordplay, tomato gore. Among Indian grown-ups, was he the dunce? This popular program was their hour of power, a tragicomedy all at once. Philosophy turned into cartoon hour. Now Krishna was telling Arjuna, be a man, just kill your granddad and fulfill my plan. Grandfather Bhishma was fatally bound to black deeds through blood duty. But the evil side made accusations. Yogi dubbed his soundtrack from versions he had read, more bona fide, giving speech to actors on the screen, while Hindi sat enthralled below the fan, tearful, angry, righteous, stunned, serene. Bitter Bhishma cursed his Kaurava clan, telling that Duryodhana, the ruling prince, give up the kingdom to the Pandava, you can't beat them, how can I convince? You'll lose because they have the Lord who's Krishna. Yet fire among dry trees of summer I will be tomorrow. Yes, I'm still your fall guy. Knowing the tale, Yogi recast old gold in his own way to keep himself inside the poem's fold. As in a wrestler's hold, the storyline had long back kept him tied also to Margot, met that summer night in Klopper's quarry through dramatic art. Now, just a car drive from the burial site, he wondered then if one chariot cart had been his own in some past time. How otherwise had he landed here? Next day's battle heat began to climb as massive Bhima and his charioteer clubbed with his gold mace and grunted breath a dozen Kaurav cousins to the death. As Bhima felled opponents one by one, the sound effect of each gold hammer blow reminded Yogi of high striker fun, hitting a bell with a puck at a country show. He was no Bhima built to crack and crush, nor an Arjuna with an archer's eye, nor Yudhisthira, king of the royal flush, nor Nakula, nor Sahadeva, born from the sky. A soldier? Spear thrower? A charioteer? Yogi speculated, scene by scene. Meanwhile, the Kauravas fell like hunted deer, while in the palace, parent, king, and queen grieved for slain sons. Here, end credits flowed, closing sadly this week's episode. Women were tearful, moved by child death, and men moved quickly for the squat latrine just down the hall. Barhai rose to switch the TV off. Its picture tube fizzed blank, And at that moment, up the stairs, Chuhan emerged with loud and proud announcement, "Yogiji, here is your yogi missus." All heads turned to see the Western woman in her Punjabi suit, red-striped with gold, her head covered, trained by local custom. She then saw Yogi, and could not get to him, so reached across, passing his guitar. All was falling well together. Barhai smiled, announcing Yogi would now lead a bhajan. To speed date God inside the Krishna Leela, body, neck, tune, head tone to Krishna, bhajan fusion, English off the cuff, Krishna bowl, sing Krishna, Hare Krishna, one hand clapping, two hands clapping Krishna, Krishna bowl, sing Krishna, Hare Krishna, glass lady bangles, tinkle bells of Krishna, Krishna wheel, Krishna wields chakra, plastic pail upturn, my soul percussion, Krishna bowl, sing Krishna, Hare Krishna. Persian wheel scoops up wet cups of Krishna. On each hair, 1,000 flutes of Krishna. Strum the strum, strum light strings of Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Finish with a slow last dance with Krishna. The success of Yogi was the joy of Barhai. "Can you come home, Yogiji? We also want your darshan," asked another. Barhai took the bookings mentally. They hemmed his star, so Barhai closed the queue.
"Respect our guests. Tomorrow we talk, please."
Margot saw the wheel of competition, an endless turning, one household to another. How much of him would still be left for her? Yet she would go along and make her place. School was due to break. Big monsoon wet, the farmers said, would bog down village roads. So she did nothing and sat apart and watched.
You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Join me next week for another installment.